Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Psychotherapist Richard Hogan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan O'Connor.
And we are going to talk about narcissists today.
From one narcissist to another.
So, look, it's a real board's concept.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah,
everyone's
yeah.
accusing everyone of being narcissists. And people, a lot of people suspecting now that their parents were narcissists and all this. So maybe we should start with what narcissism isn't. So it's not just vanity. It's not just like Richard loves himself.
No, and as you said there at the start, it is one of the most used terms in our modern language and vocabulary and lexicon. It's not just someone who annoys you. It's not just someone who decides to play golf on a Saturday. You know, it's not someone who's picking somebody else for the team or whatever. That's kind of, it's overused, right?
Yeah.
A narcissist, it's actually, you know, the origins of it is from Narcissus, this Greek story of this guy who fell madly in love with himself. The Roman poet Ovid tells the story of this guy who fought off all suitors, fell in love with his image in a pool of water and died looking at himself.
In a precursor of social media.
Exactly. And so what it really is about is like it's pathological now. So it's in the DSM-5. So it's got its own diagnostic definition there. So narcissistic personality disorder. And while we might, you know, joke about it and all that kind of stuff at the start,
so it
brings terrible devastation into people's lives. And if you're a child growing up with a parent who was a narcissist, I suppose maybe we should give the definition.
Like, yes.
So a grandiose, an excessive sense of grandiosity. Right?
Yeah.
An insatiable need for attention and admiration. And here's the one I always say that's as working clinically with it, which is very hard to witness as a clinician with a family, because I work with families. An inability to have empathy for anybody.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Really a lack of empathy for anybody else's position. So if you think about a parent now, think about a child who comes up in a dynamic where the parent is a narcissist. It devastates self-esteem. Right? Because the child learns very quickly. They have to constantly move themselves. The tectonic plates are shifting all the time. And so they have to constantly move themselves to suit the needs of the parent, because the parent indoctrinates the child into this belief system that they're there to ameliorate all of their emotional and happiness, and they're there to suit them, and they're there to reflect their glory, and they're there to kind of pander to their feelings and emotions. It's the other way around it should be. So you have an inverted... dynamic.
Well, that's heavy.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it really causes, Brendan, as we get into this, if you've ever met somebody who work in your work who's an incredible people pleaser, you're kind of going, as you analyze people, going, that must be a very unsustainable position to be constantly saying yes. They generally, in my experience, would have had a parent who positioned them like that. They constantly changed themselves.
They grew up dancing around.
They grew up with the belief, I'm not enough.
Okay.
I'm not valuable, and I have to constantly change myself to suit the needs of this parent of mine. And then it goes out wider, it metastasizes, it goes out, and then I have to suit the needs of everybody.
Okay, so I want to come back to the parents thing, because it is a big thing out there these days. So how would you kind of spot a narcissist in your life in general? You've mentioned the grandiosity and all that, but like...
As a parent, your parent?
No, in general, like, example.
You know, the person who's waiting for your mouth to stop so they can talk.
Yeah.
You know, the person who sucks all the attention. That's always a great one to spot. Somebody who's like a black hole, you know. All goodness goes into it, but really it's all about them. It's all leading back to them. Whatever you come with, it's all going to them. They're going to twist it somehow to them, right? Okay. And it's going to be about them. It's always going to be about them.
Yeah.
And it's always about, you know, I mean, that's what you'd see someone who's a narcissist.
There's light bulbs going off everywhere now. Okay. We're going to make the narcissism accusing worse.
It's going to be even wider.
We're trying to be scientific here about it. But so what might cause someone to be a narcissist, by the way?
Well, 0.5 to 5% of the population would have it. So it's a disorder. It's a psychiatric disorder. In my experience, you generally grew up with a parent who lived with this. And so on and on down the generational kind of tree it goes. I suppose a fundamental lack of self. Narcissists are, you know, so mostly are unaware of themselves, and they have this incredible belief in their brilliance. Incredible.
Okay, so on one hand, though, there's a crack. There's a bottomless pit of need.
Yes, because of this crack in their sense of identity. But they can't bring themselves to see that, because that would be too profound. Actually, psychotherapy, the research would say, you know, it can help a narcissist. In my experience, and anecdotally, it's not great, really, because they actually seek out young inexperienced therapists to drive their agenda in a, you know, whatever they're trying to, you know, whatever they're trying to get across. And maybe if it's couples therapy or if it's in family therapy, they're generally very good at manipulating. It's like a narcissist.
You've seen this.
Oh yeah, God. And the pain of sitting with children with narcissistic parents is incredible.
And are you able to tackle the narcissistic parent?
You get rejected very quickly.
Okay.
Once you challenge it, the therapy can shut down very quickly.
Okay.
You know, once anyone challenges a narcissist, things can shut down very quickly.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. Because you're challenging a fundamental, belief in them. You're challenging their very psychology that they hold about themselves. They're brilliant, and a narcissist will avoid any interactions where their truth is revealed to them. So they'll, you know, they won't play sports, and they won't do this, and they won't do that, and they won't, because they're terrified of the reality coming to them. They've got this inflated sense of grandiosity and brilliance, and what, you know, all of these ideas. So they're trying to avoid the reality coming into their life.
So their life gets smaller and smaller,
and smaller.
Only the people who are willing to kind of play the game with them
will stay
in
left. Yeah.
Okay. So it can be easy being a narcissist then either. Let's think of the poor narcissist.
It's misery.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
It's absolutely, and they've very high levels of depression. Right, so it's misery, because you do generally know, you know, and particularly say a parent who's a narcissist, their child's successes in life reflect their own failures. Now it's very hard for the child to experience that. Right, but everything around them reflects the truth about who they truly are, and they've been building everything to hide that truth because they have such a low sense of self. Do you know what I mean?
So explain that to me again. So the child being successful, which you would think a narcissist would want, like
exactly,
a brilliant child creator,
yeah, absolutely,
actually eats at them.
Eats at them because it reflects if they get too successful. It reflects to them how unsuccessful they have been in their lives. And so even their child's partner, they can generally do, in my experience now, they can have two positions with the partner, is that they really dislike the partner because they're not good enough for them, because it's them, their child. They're not good enough for them. Or they love bomb the partner because they're aware that the child is going to say some terrible things about them. And so they're bringing them in. And so, God, I don't experience your mom like that, or your dad like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're lovely. They're so kind. And it's all so manipulative and destructive. It's scorched earth kind of stuff, been around someone like that.
Yeah, because you often say to people, like, you know, your mother, father, whatever, yeah. Like you meet them and you go, geez, they're great, really charming.
Are they?
Yeah. You don't know that.
You haven't met them yet.
Yeah. Okay, so the narcissistic parents then, how you have ways here that they will behave. So yeah. Love is conditional.
Love is absolutely conditional, right? And that's a terrible thing for a child to come to understand. That love is, you know, how I love you is conditional upon how you interact in this family and what you make me feel. That's a terrible thing for a child to experience at a fundamental time in their maturation and development, to understand that I'm not enough.
Okay.
I'm not valuable as I am. I have to constantly shift myself here to suit the needs of this parent. And it's an insatiable need. And so it brings incredible devastation. And because, you know, Murray Bowen, a very famous psychologist, talks about differentiation of self and enmeshment. The child's identity gets enmeshed into the parent. And so they don't develop properly for a long, they can have real stunted maturation. And it's not until they move into, say, adolescence and they go into other homes and they see other parents, and then they move into their relational life, and then they have children themselves, and then they start to parent their children, that they come to this really profound awareness. God, that wasn't love what happened to my childhood. That was actually an abuse of an innocent child there. I was really, really brought into this ideology that I had to do everything to suit my parent. Geez, that's not actually how it should be.
And the narcissistic parent, you say as well, will play siblings off against each other.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Why?
A narcissist kind of exists in the chaos. They love the drama.
Right.
You know, and yeah. So if all the siblings, if your children are all fighting, I'm golden over here. You know what I mean? I'm the glue between you all fighting. God, you're all fighting. What's that about? I love you all the same. Exactly. It's all such manipulation, Brendan. It is really awful stuff for families. You know,
it's all to kind of feed their insecurity, yeah. Though. Not their kind of massive ego. Their insecurity, actually.
Fundamentally. Their incredible low sense of self. I was watching this over the week there. It was Kathy Bates, the famous actress.
Yeah.
And she was talking. It's an incredible interview. And she's talking about winning an Oscar. And she said her mother, she had a difficult relationship with her mother. And she told me when I told her I won the Oscar, she said, well, you didn't cure cancer. So what's all the big deal about? And then she says in the interview, it's a brilliant interview. She says, I never thanked her when I won the Oscar. And the interview says, you did. you did thank her. She said, no, I didn't. And he plays the clip of her thanking her. And she's just, she's about to break down emotionally because she's been told by her parent, you never thanked me. So the Oscar all became about the parent. And that's what a narcissist does. No matter what you do, it's all coming back into this furnace that's burning, that's them.
Okay.
It's so terrible.
Narcissistic mothers and their daughters then. Tell me about this concept of the devouring mother.
Oh, well, the devouring. See, here's the thing. A narcissist will generally seek out a submissive partner. You very rarely get two narcissists in a relationship, right? You'll get a narcissist and a submissive partner because they'll seek out the submissive partner that they can dominate and bring into their, and so that everything becomes about them, right? And generally, you know, statistically, those marriages mightn't last as long as other marriages, let's say, because it's, it can be intolerably unbearable to be in a relationship with a narcissist where everything is about them, right?
Right.
And so with the court system, the way it's set up in Ireland, it can, you know, generally children will go towards, will be put towards the mother. Now, there are narcissistic men, and men are more narcissistic than women, statistically speaking. But when the mother is a narcissist and she's a single parent, it can become an incredibly devouring position for the child, because the parent, just, what they do, Brendan, it's this incredible thing. It's probably one of the saddest aspects of my work, is that they alienate the healthy partner, right? And they basically say, you know, I've been, generally the partner might have left them, and so you, by God, you left me. Now think about the idea of grandiosity and brilliance and no empathy and attention and all those things that a narcissist requires. By God, you left me. I'm going to show you what you, what I can do to you. I'm going to show you the power I have on your life. You're never seeing these kids again. And they bring the kids into this whole narrative.
And then
and that's the devouring part.
Yeah. And it, tell me about the relationship then between a narcissistic mother and daughter.
Well, it can be all about aesthetics. It can be all about beauty and looks, and it can be this incredibly competitive thing. When I was your age, I was this, and when I was, you know, it can be all of this.
Remember that old comedy sketch? People think we're sisters.
Exactly.
That kind of
well,
thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Again, you know what I mean? Yeah. That whole competitive thing. Look at me. Look how beautiful I am. We're like sisters, and it can be so destructive for a child. No child should know the mental health of their parent. You know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
My children don't have a 7-year-old at home there and a 10-year-old and 14-year-old. They don't have a clue about my mental health, and nor should they, right? And of course, as we grow up, we become older and we have our parents and we're, of course, thing, you know, you have more relationship. But a 7-year-old knowing that I'm whatever it is, that is manipulation. And that's bringing your child into, to indoctrinate them into, my feelings are more important than yours. Forget yours. You think about my feelings. And that's the devouring part. And that's the part where your development and sense of self get eroded for the attention of the parent.
And am I getting a vibe across a few things you said as well? Will the narcissistic parent, mother, as we're talking about in this case, be jealous of her own child, yeah?
Yeah. You see, it can manifest in a couple of ways. It can be that all their glory of the child will reflect them. So it's my daughter, look how brilliant she is, you know, and that. But then any failure also is treated brutally, because you can't fail. You can't have moments of not achieving, because that reflects on me. And then the other one, what we just discussed about, you can't succeed too much, because if you succeed too much, well, then you're reflecting that I didn't succeed at all in my life. Or if your partner is very brilliant, you know, I don't like him because he's reflecting that I didn't have a brilliant partner, my marriage didn't work out, and so everything is coming back. It's that song, It's All About You, you know that song, but I don't know who they are, but it's all about them. It's all going back to them to feed this insatiable desire for attention and admiration.
Okay, with some good questions here, but just before we get to that, and we'll get to some strategies as well for dealing with narcissists, but in terms of a narcissistic partner then, you say like that it's very easy to fall under the spell of a narcissist.
Oh yeah, because they love bomb you. You know, they present this incredible facade at the start. They present themselves as this, all, you know, so, it's just so consumed by you. You're the sun, the moon, and the stars in their life, and they just give you the attention. They, you know, they just really fill you with this incredible sense, my God, this person really gets me. They really love me. They're so attentive. They're so interested in my life. They're so great to be with. But that veneer, Brendan, can't hold.
So what happens then?
And when someone that slowly starts to peel back, or rapidly maybe, the real person will emerge. But they've hooked you from the start. And so the person who's been brought in has been very badly manipulated. And they, because they're good people, are thinking, maybe I can get him back to that, or maybe I can get her back to that, because she was once like that, or he was once like that. And so that was designed to hook you. That's not the real person. The real person who is... who they've revealed to you, who they are consistently the majority of the time, that's the truth about a person's identity.
And can you change a narcissist?
Well, I suppose I'm always the belief that we can all change, because I'm a very hopeful person.
Yeah.
But I would say, depending, because it is a disorder, so it's a spectrum. If it's particularly chronic, I don't think you probably can.
Okay.
Right.
Speaking of the spectrum there are a few people asking, can people have like narcissistic traits,
yeah,
little aspects,
yeah,
of it? Yeah.
Yeah, they can,
I
of
mean,
course.
And I mean, I'd say a lot of those people can function okay in life.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I definitely know people who have bits of narcissism about,
yeah,
them. But,
they're
mind,
okay.
They're,
it's
them,
it's
right?
not chronic, and
yeah,
it's not severe.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not all consuming, and it doesn't devastate all of those around them. And so there's markers that you'd look at, you know. Am I being abused in this relationship?
Okay.
You know, do I feel worse in the relationship than I did before I was in this relationship? Do I feel more inadequate now? You know, am I actually less joyful in my life? Am I frightened to offer my opinions in case I upset them? You know, are activities less interesting to me now because I want to stay in the orbit of this person because they don't want me to leave? Is my relationship with my parents less than it was before I went into this relationship? They're all really important,
okay,
questions to ask.
There's a lot there.
Living with a chronic narcissist, or is the person a bit self-consumed and a bit, you know, sees themselves through this perspective more than they see the rest of us, but they're not devastating anything, or they're not destroying things.
Okay. So, strategies then, yeah, for dealing with narcissists.
Right. So if it's a parent, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, again, depending on how severe it is. A very good strategy that I'd always say when I'm working with, you know, adults at this age, and they're saying, my parents did this, and I don't want to go back in there. It's like,
is there a lot of it around?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. I know there is.
Okay.
There's a lot of this around. And a lot of people have really struggled with this throughout their lives, and they'd say, I never had the language for it. I didn't know what it was. I always thought it was me, because that's the manipulation part. They project it onto you and make you feel like there's something wrong with you, inadequate with you. That's what a partner does to their, if they're a narcissist, they'll make their partner feel inadequate, and they make them feel like, God, I'll never meet anyone as good as this guy again, or whatever, right? And so
okay,
it's all manipulation. So I'd manage distance is the first thing I'd always say. You can always manage the distance between you and anybody, right? And if it's a parent, what I'd say, and if they're particularly struggling with this thing as a disorder, I would say you decide how much emotional and personal information you give them. Because just understanding their condition, and I'm never going to get validated by this person. They're never going to see my position here. They're never going to understand my feelings of what it was like to grow up with them as my parents. They're never going to validate that. So watch that when you go back in, because you're always going to get hurt. Every time you go back into that dynamic, you're always going to be let down. So watching that piece, understanding what their disorder is, and understanding that they don't have the capacity right now to really see me and see my position. And so I'm going to manage what I give them, the emotional, the depths of my feelings. I'm going to manage that because, you know what? I can have a relation with this person, but it's at a very fundamental level.
Okay.
And so I don't get hurt all the time when I'm in their company.
Okay. Because it's going to be hard for people, right? Because everybody feels they should have a relationship with their parents, right?
Well, that's
and a good relationship,
yeah,
with them, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hard to go, well, I'm not going to do that, but I'll fix it instead. I'll try and get them to see my,
yeah,
point of view or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
And
no.
I suppose it's that Einstein's theory of insanity. At some point, you,
okay,
have to say, like, I'm doing the same old thing and then getting the same old response. I go in there, I get hurt, I come out, I'm devastated, I feel so sick in my stomach. For weeks, I ruminate on how they spoke to me and what they said to me. I'd say, no, at some point, you have to decide self-care is not selfishness. You know, getting distance and understanding who they are and what you are and what relationship you want, because this is about you now, and you owe it to yourself to decide, I'm not playing their game. This isn't all about them. This is my world and my life and what I want to bring into it. And this isn't that kind of toxic positivity thing that people go on about only having positive people in your life.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to have some people in your life who are struggling and all that kind of stuff. But this is about managing your distance with someone who just ultimately lacks any capacity of seeing you or being able to validate or having a healthy relationship with you.
Are they going to react to that?
Oh, yeah. They more than likely they will.
Throw you back in.
Yeah. They'll try to pull you back in, right? And they'll say terrible things. You're so ungrateful. And all I did for you as a child, everything I did was about me. And I looked after, you know, everything I did was for you. And you're so ungrateful as an adult now. I did everything. That's how narcissists talk. I did everything for you. And now look at how you treat me.
Okay. So there's a good few questions here, Richard, about how does narcissism move through the generations? One person says, how do I protect my child from becoming a narcissist? Break the mold, and having had a narcissist father. So
yeah, that's a great question. I get asked that a lot. You know, a lot of people ask me, they come up to me after talk and say, how do I prevent my child from being unpleasant? It's a good question. Parents very rarely ask that, you know. It's a good question. How do I make my child likable but able to compromise? And I'd say to the parent, the fact that you're asking me that knows that you're going to do it. The fact that you're aware of that, you can produce a child who's unlikable. And I'd say, you know, when your parent at a restaurant is treating the person serving you with disdain because they're a lowly paid worker or whatever, that's a narcissistic parent. And so as a child, when you see your parent treating people around, how they treat people around them who have less power than them or perceived less power than them, that is the behavior of a narcissist, putting people down, being cynical, you know, being really just really unpleasant to people. And I'd say as parents, we're always modeling. So how we treat ourselves and how we treat others is the greatest indicator for helping your child to have compassion and to be able to treat people with respect and dignity. And so the fact that they're asking that question, you know that they have that.
Okay, so do they're watching what you do, not what you say.
And so a lot of kids model their parents' narcissism. You'd see it in the playground. You'd see how they talk to each other. They model what they've heard from their parents because they watch their parent put people down. They watch the parent diminish people. They watch their parent talk about the teachers in such a way because they're just teachers and they don't get paid. They don't have good car. And so you can hear it in the yard. You can hear these children talking the same way because they've been modeled it.
Okay. Here's a quite specific one now, but you might have some bit of advice for it. So this person left an abusive narcissistic husband 10 years ago. How do I protect our 12-year-old who is displaying lack of confidence and people-pleasing?
Yeah. Again, I would always get in there with the people-pleasing one, Brendan. That's a huge thing to help your child out of that. As I said here many times, I want my child to be compassionate, but I want them to have teeth as well. And I particularly with having, daughters. I don't want them to be people pleasers. I don't want them to be moved by that pathological desire to constantly please people. And I would actually help my child out about it and say that, you know, it's important to say no to things and that people respect you more when you say no. Because if you're saying yes, this is what I'd always say to my kids, when you're saying yes all the time to things, that has no value. And you have to be able to say no to, do you want to do that? I don't. Well, then why are you putting yourself forward in case I let them down? Or it's okay at times to do what you want to do. And I would teach that to my son. If they had a parent who's a narcissist and now they see themselves as in this position of pleasing all the time, I would try to break it for them.
Okay, people asking about a narcissistic boss.
Oh yeah, that's a huge problem. That's one of the biggest things I work with, right? Oh,
really?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
before
God.
We get to that, can I have a side question on that? Do narcissists seek out like wealth, power, fame?
Absolutely.
Or
brilliant.
Does fame, wealth, power make people narcissists?
No, it's a great question. People often ask me that and they'd say, God, he really changed when he became famous or when he got wealth. And I say, no, he didn't change. It just allowed him to reveal who he is. So narcissists hold themselves. They hold themselves because they haven't got the leverage. They haven't got the position. They haven't got the house. They haven't got the wealth. They haven't got the, you know, FU money kind of behind them. So they're constantly trying to hold themselves. It's when they get those positions, then you see the true person. That reveals the person, right?
Okay.
And so they do seek out jobs. And competence and confidence are quite close in interviews. Right? Hewlett Packard.
You know it.
Absolutely. Hewlett Packard did a very interesting study, and they said that women will generally go for the job if they've got 100% of the criteria, and men will go for the job if they've got about 60% of the criteria, right?
Yeah.
And so men are more going to go, I'll give it a shot, I'll go for it, right? And men have higher levels of this, statistically speaking. And so.
So are you saying that the boss is possibly more likely to be a narcissist than the general population?
Well, it can be the way. It can be the way.
And what's a narcissistic boss look like, and how can people deal with that?
So toxic. It is so toxic. They have inner circles. First, always great sign, inner circles. Think of Trump, right?
Yeah.
Inner circles, right? And they have...
When you say Trump, sure, it all makes sense, suddenly.
Exactly.
Yeah, the people who are there...
They're in this inner...
Basking in the love.
Basking in the glory of this
yes,
guy,
boss,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, boss. Yeah, everyone who says yes. Remember in his first administration, he brought in... it was a good captain, it was a good team. They're all fired within a couple of weeks because they're all saying no to him. And so he has to have yes people around them, right? They have to have yes people around. So that actually changes, and that seems like kind of a light thing, but that changes the neurochemistry of the people working in a job when there's an in-circle. There's an in-group and there's an out-group. And if you're in that out-group, then the narcissist targets you. They've got their group around them, protecting them. And then they'll target you because, you know, you're, as they perceive you, you're not in my group. I don't like you. You're a bit of a hassle. You're always talking, you know, so you're always bringing up stuff in the meeting and I don't like you.
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid here.
So that's a very difficult situation because in
brutal.
The workplace, people do not have much power. I mean,
no, they don't.
But here's, you go to HR and say the boss is a narcissist.
Exactly. So what I'd always say here, Brendan, is a top tip to anybody. You're never really, we think in these solid kind of concrete terms, I'm stuck here in this job. And I'd always say, this is what a lot of the mentoring I would do is you're never stuck. What I would always say is try to increase your capacity for being employed by bringing something onto your CV. I'd always, if I am working in a situation where this person is really narcissistic and targeting me, that will impact on your mental health. You'll be going home, you won't be sleeping, you'll be ruminating, you'll be thinking about what they said, how they put you down, how they diminished you. That's terrible. That's the rotwood of your soul. So then you're not enjoying your family. I would say, think about this. Work is all what we do to pay for our lives with our family, right? Of course, we get in a job and we like it and all that, but if we've got a boss there, manage your proximity with them. I would document everything that they're doing. I would go to HR with it, right? But I would, in the background, I'd always be like Andy Dufresne in The Shawshank Redemption. I'd be chiseling my way out of this position, right?
Okay.
I'd be adding little bits to my CV, adding little bits to make me highly employable, because when I'm not that employable, you've got me.
Okay. We're going to come back to narcissistic fathers, actually, mm-hmm. and separation and stuff like that another day, because there are more questions, but we did some of it. But a narcissistic sister here who destroyed me.
My
mother always pandered to her and still does. My mother cannot see it. I want to ask you a question before you go, though, to go back to look, it is a disorder too.
Yeah, it is.
You know, these people aren't evil either. If there's probably people listening now who were blissfully unaware, who are thinking, actually, I'm a narcissist and possibly I'm a bit of a monster.
Yeah.
What can they do? Can they get help?
Like, you're not a monster. You're not a monster.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a monster.
Sorry, that's a bad use.
No, but I know what you mean. That's what people say to themselves.
I'm a monster.
Yeah, exactly. No. I would say if you recognize some of the markers that we mentioned here in this interview, I'd go and talk to somebody and try to figure out how that happened, because, you know, you were someone who developed a family too, and you came from parents who raised you. And so you've got genetic markers inside you here, and then you have how you were nurtured and all that. And so that led, and then you probably had a childhood that wasn't so great, and that led to all this lack of sense of self. And so having a bit of...
If you can unpick a bit of that,
have a bit of compassion for yourself, and then maybe talking to your children that you reared and asking them about their experience of you. I mean, that would be an incredibly deep and healing thing to do.
Wow, yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Brendan, great talk.
Amazing, yeah. Richard Hogan, thank you very much. We'll take a break.